Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 883, Huta Bhug Vibhuhu. It's not the most common or well-known of the names of Vishnu. It's not the kind of name that generally would be given to a child, like the name Vishnu or Keshava. It is in the series of names related to the Archir Adi Marga, which I explained in the previous few names, this series of names is covering, which is the process by which, following the mystic yoga system, a yogi can be liberated from this world and, if he's a Vaishnav, can be elevated to the spiritual kingdom. It's a bit difficult to relate to or understand, probably for most of us, as we're not very familiar with this Archir Adi Marga. We know that to enter the spiritual world, we have to surrender to Krishna. Emphasis is put on submitting oneself rather than following any mechanical system. But it is in the Vishnu Sahasranam, several names, and this particular name is understood by many of the commentators to mean Vishnu, Huta Bhug Vibhuhu, who is the bright fortnight of the moon. We have 12 lunar months in every solar year. Yeah, but it doesn't fit that well. That's why every 3 years we need an intercalary year, the Purushottam Masa. So within each lunar month, there are two pakshas, which paksha means fortnight, 15 days each. It's approximately a fortnight. Paksha can mean side, it can mean wing, it can mean side aparti on one side or the other. And here it means either the bright fortnight, which is called the Shukla Paksha, or in Gauriya terminology, the Gaura Paksha. And the dark fortnight is called the Krishna Paksha. Here, Krishna refers to darkness or blackness, and Shukla means light. So the period of the waning moon is called the Krishna Paksha, and the period of the waxing moon, when the moon gradually grows and becomes brighter and brighter, it's called the Shukla Paksha. Shukla gives the idea of brightness. Huta, the term Huta means, or is connected to offering, eating, to perform a sacrifice. We have, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir, Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam. Huta means offered. So, and the rest of the verse, Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So this is understood, this verse is in the context of Vedic sacrifices, yajñas. Similarly, we have in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 16, aham kratur aham yajñam, aham kratur aham yajña swadhaham aham aushadham mantraham aham eva jam aham agnir aham hutam. Again, referring to Vedic sacrifices, Krishna says, it is I who am the ritual, the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the herb, healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and hutam, the offering. Then the word bhuk comes again from the idea of consuming. It can also mean protecting. So one who consumes the offering. Huta is that mean which is offered. Bhuk means who consumes. Vibhu in this context is defined by Satyadeva Vashishta. To mean vivid, various. And therefore, that which manifests in different ways. So he who in various ways consumes the offerings in the sacrifice, or who consumes the various offerings in the sacrifice. Parashara Bhatta gives the understanding of this name, Huta Bhuk, to refer to the moon, and the term Vibhu, to mean who grows and becomes full. So it's a reference to the waxing moon. Huta Bhuk means the moon, Soma, and the waxing moon. So Huta Bhuk Vibhu means who has consumed the offerings made to him and has become full, Vibhu. Vibhu means in this context who becomes full. This is the third step in the Acharadi Marga. Reference is again given by Parashara Bhatta to Chandogya Upanishad, which this Acharadi Marga is explained. It's also summarized in Bhagavad Gita, and it's also covered, not so well known. All the commentators here on Vishnu Sahasranam, they refer to Chandogya Upanishad, but the Acharadi Marga is also covered in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Canto 2, Chapter 2, text 24-31. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, our own Gaurya commentator on Vishnu Sahasranam, continues to parallel Parashara Bhatta of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya in his explanation of this particular series of names, saying that this meaning, it's got to be this here. The bright fortnight figuratively denotes the Supreme Lord on account of its brightness. The Shukla Paksha. Shukla means bright. Just as a man may be called a lion according to his bravery and heroism. So, Baladev Vidyabhushan glosses this name as he by whose mercy the devotee's soul goes with the Shukla Paksha. We have in Gita the description of how the yogi advances from one stage to another. Ultimately, it's by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that all this is possible. Shankaracharya breaks up this name into two. He gives it as Huta Bhuk and Vibhu. So Shankara Shankara gives two names here, as does Satya Sandha Tirtham of the Madhva Sampradaya. Although the Madhva Sampradaya, the Dvaita school, is the most opposed of all the Vaishnava schools to the Advaita school of Shankara. But he, in this case, follows Shankara because he came chronologically later than Shankara in splitting this name into two, Huta Bhuk and Vibhu. So Huta Bhuk means the same thing. He is the eater of offerings, who consumes the offerings, that which is offered to him. But it gives the same meaning, but it's not paired with Vibhu to mean the moon. It simply means what is offered in the fire, or what is offered to him, he accepts it. Offerings are made in different sacrifices, different yajñas to different demigods, but ultimately he is the real eater or the real enjoyer. Or it can also mean, because bhokri also so means to protect, so it also means he who protects the offerings. We have in Gita, Lord Krishna says, aham hi sarva yajñānām bhokta cha prabhur eva cha. Natu mama bijananti tatvenatas chivantite. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. So here we have yajna giving the sense of the offering, huta, and bhokta, the enjoyer, the eater. Those who do not recognize this, Krishna says, natu mama bijananti tatvenatas chivantite. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature, those who don't accept me as the enjoyer of the sacrifice, those who think that I'm offering this to a demigod and the demigod is the ultimate receiver, Krishna says, such a person fall. So what does it mean that Krishna accepts what is offered to the demigods? In the Madhva Sampradaya, we have the explanation that Paramatma is situated in the heart of all the demigods, the devatas. And although they consume the offering, he consumes them first. So they get his prasad, if it's understood in that way. So the faithful devotee offering to their own preferred demigod or any particular demigod, but it is Lord Narayan who ultimately receives them all. And therefore we have the Yajna Bhuk, Yajna Pati, we have upcoming names in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Shankara gives the meaning that he is the protector of sacrifices, huta, which is offered in sacrifice, Bhuk he protects. In the form of the demigods, he protects and consumes what is offered in the sacrifice. Satyadeva Vashishta explains that hutam refers not just to the offerings in the fire during the homa, the sacrifice, but it also means, it means that accompanied by the necessary mantras. And he refers to the seven tongues of fire, which we discussed earlier under the name Saptajiva. He who has seven tongues, the Lord of fire, who has seven tongues. Saptate agne samidhaha, Saptajivaha. This is from the Yajurveda. Satyadeva Vashishta also adds, it is a quality of huta book, the quality of huta book, that he accepts this food offered in the fire. So that quality of his is reflected in our being able to consume fire and consume food in the fire of our stomachs. Aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashritam pranapana samayuktav pachamyanam chaturvidham. Krishna says, I am the fire of digestion, which digests the different kinds of food offered. So this name Hutabhuk, Satyadeva Vashishta says, that hints at the Supreme Lord being the digester of all food in all different living beings. Then, if we take these two names separately, Hutabhuk and Vibhu, then Vibhu came previously in the third century of names. Here, Shankaracharya interprets the name to mean Sarvatra Bharatam Anatvat Trayanam Lokanam Vibhutvat Va Vibhu. He's everywhere, Oh, he's the Lord of the three worlds. Taken either way, he's called Vibhu, Lord Narayan, all-pervading, Vishnu. In this way, all-pervading is it is synonymous with the name Vishnu. He's unconditioned by time and space. He's everywhere at all times. He's eternal, omnipresent, unlimited by any conditionings. Vibhu also means very great, very powerful. Vibhu, he's the ultimate controller of all Prabhus, all the controllers of others. He's the ultimate controller. Also, Vibhu can mean who brings into being the Vishishta, the speciality. People become great, people become superior to others because of him. Vishishta Bhu, Bhu giving the sense of coming into being, that is possible by him. Also, Vibhu gives the idea of shining, so he and supremacy, so he shines supremely always. Vibhu, another nuance of that meaning, he's pervading in all places with bright light. He is most capable and has all capacities. Satyadeva Vashishta, Vividho Bhavati Iti Vibhu. He who manifests himself in many ways. So it's a little leaning towards Advaita. It gives the idea of, as Satyadeva Vashishta generally does, that it's the one who manifests in many. But Satya Sandha Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya gives a similar meaning, but with the Dvaita or proper understanding. Vishishta Bhavanti Asmat Iti Vibhu. Because there are differences, we can understand that these distinctions come into being because of him. So one says that the Advaitins say that difference is an illusory manifestation of the one, and the Madhvas, the strong Dvaitavadis, they say that difference is eternally existent and is established by the one supreme who is different from all living beings. We have the word Vibhu in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, na datte kasya chit papam na chaiva sukritam vibhuhu agyanenavritam jnanam tenamu hyanti jantavaha. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the word Vibhu, which refers to the Supreme Lord here in Bhagavad Gita, as it does here in Vishnu Sahasranam. Srila Prabhupada explains the word Vibhu as the Supreme Lord who is full of unlimited knowledge, riches, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation. Bhagavan. He is always satisfied in himself, Atma Rama, undisturbed by sinful or pious activities. That's what's stated in this Bhagavad Gita verse here. He does not create a particular situation for any living entity, but the living entity, bewildered by ignorance, desires to be put in certain conditions of life, and thereby his chain of action and reaction begins. A living entity is, by superior nature, full of knowledge. Nonetheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Supreme Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is Vibhu or omniscient, but the living entity is Anu or atomic. So this is a very important distinction between Vibhu the omniscient, all-pervading, all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, Krishna, and Anu, the infinitesimal living being, of whom there are innumerable. This word Vibhu should be understood. We are not Vibhu. He is Vibhu. We are not great. He is great. Vibhu is a word which we often find in Vaishnav Shastra, or the Shastra which is particularly dear to the Vaishnavas, and which is more dear than Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 16, which describes how Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya, we have in the first verse the name Vibhu, just one example of several. But I'm going to read it and read from the commentary by Sanatana Goswami, in which he unpacks the meaning of the word Vibhu in the context of this verse, which is as follows. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam Krishna, Krishna Hina Vibhuhu, Tasya Vishuddhim Anvichan, Sarpam Tad Udavasayat. Bhanu Swami Maharaj's translation. Shukadev Goswami said, Sri Krishna, manifesting his power, seeing that the Yamuna river had been contaminated by the black snake, Kaliya, desired to purify the river and thus banished him from it. The commentary of Sanatana Goswami, translated by Bhanu Swami Maharaj. Yamuna is called Krishnam here because of her dark color and because of being dear to Krishna. Thus, he had to take action when she was contaminated with poison, since she was a dear friend. The snake was black because of being full of intense poison. Yeah, this is, we see in the verse, it's not, but Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam Krishna Krishna Hina. So we have the word Krishna comes three times in a row. First time it refers to Yamuna. The second time refers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the third time refers to the black snake, Kaliya. The snake was black because of being full of intense poison. Krishna did not act simply for her benefit, but for everyone's benefit, since Krishna takes away, krish, all sorrows. The whole universe would be benefited by the rescue of such a great holy place of Raja, since people could drink the water. Kaliya would also be benefited. This will be revealed later. Krishna could perform such acts because he was able to do many things by one act. Vibhuhu. Sarpa means a creature that crawls about. Krishna prevented him from going elsewhere. So here we find Sanatana Goswami giving the meaning of Vibhu as one who can do many things by one act. And there are many, many examples of Krishna doing many things by one act. So many examples. I'm going to read from an extract of the transcript of Srila Prabhupada's lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 22, on September the 27th, 1972, in Los Angeles. Referring to how Nrsimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. Krishna kept Brahma's promise. Brahma had promised that Hiranyakashipu would not be killed by any creature of the land, no man or animal, any creature of the land. He wouldn't be killed on the land or in the sky are in the water, neither inside nor outside, neither in the day or the night. Krishna kept Brahma's promise. I wouldn't be killed by any weapon, neither by a man, an animal, demigod. Krishna kept Brahma's promise. He kept the atheist Hiranyakashipu's aspiration and he satisfied Prahlad. And everything was done simply by incarnating as Narasimhadeva. This is Krishna's plan. He comes, but by one stroke, he serves so many businesses. That is Krishna. There's an avatar of Krishna, who's called Vibhu. He's mentioned in Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 1, Text 21. We don't have much information about him, but he is mentioned. And we have coming up after about six names. I say after about six names because it depends which number system, which numbering system we follow. We have the name Ananta Huta Bhug Bhukta. So we're going to have a similar name coming up quite soon. Mancha kalpa tarubhyas chakripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya trunakam padayo nipatya kridvacha kakushatam etadaham ravimi hei sadhava sakra evivihaya durad gauranga chanda charne kurutanu radaha parivaditu jano yata tata vananu mukarana vayang vicharaya maha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama. Paha pirang natavaravapu karneyo karnikaram. Bibrad vasa kamaka kapisham. Vaijayantim chamalam. Randran venor adara sutaya purayan gopa rindayar. Rindaranyam svapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Shri Radha Yaf Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva Swadhyoya Enad Bhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiyaha Sokyang Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Vetino Bhat Tadbhavardha Samajane Shachi Garba Sindho Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama